everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another in my ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone in the entertainment world. My guest today is well-known San Francisco musician, Dee Edward. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Simon. Good to be here.
I have an inquiring mind, and I just have to ask the question, why the mysterious D rather than Don or Dave?
You know, it's not really that mysterious. I just wanted to separate myself from just a regular person with a first name and a last name. So I took my first initial.
Okay. It's actually a question that crops up quite often when I'm talking with authors. Authors mm-hmm. seem to like that approach.
mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to music. Would you care to tell us a little bit about yourself? What is your background?
Well, I'm a musician, obviously. I'm a percussionist. I'm a percussionist as well as a singer and a songwriter. I really kind of would label myself or would prefer to label myself as a songwriter, but I also play keyboards, a little ukulele, a little guitar, although very little ukulele and very even smaller, littler guitar. But I'm a percussionist by trade. So the last, I would say, 10 years or so, I've been playing professionally, paying my bills as a percussionist, mainly, well, with whoever pays me, but with this group called Confunction that had hit records back in the 70s and 80s. And so I've traveled all over the world, all over the United States, playing music with them. And that's kind of where I think that I learned how to be a front man showman and kind of how to sing and really find my voice on stage and on recordings as a singer. So a lot of people consider me as a singer now, though.
That's curious. The only other percussionist stroke singer that springs to my mind is Phil Collins.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing. I love Phil Collins. But that's exactly, you know, and now that you mention that, I would say that that's kind of what I've done. You know, I've gone from being in the back behind the drums, well, in his case, regular set drums, in my case, congas and timbales, but coming from the back and being in front and being that front man. And so, you know, maybe subconsciously I was inspired by Phil Collins to do that.
There you go. Now, You mentioned the drums that you use, and you said it's not a traditional kit. What is it that you actually play?
So I play like congas and timbales, kind of Latin percussion. Although I don't play in a lot of Latin bands. So I play hand percussion. I do play a little set drums. I play on the album, but I really would consider myself to be a hand percussionist.
All right. Well, enough of talking about the music. I vote we listen to some.
That sounds great.
How do you fancy I play the title track from the CD, Love Is?
That is awesome, because that also happens to be the single that's being released next week to radio. So
perfect.
We just finished filming a music video for that, so that'll also be premiering soon.
Oh, let's talk about that at the other end of the song. Here it is.
Okay.
Southern lights
great track.
Thank you very much.
So, before we played that, you mentioned a couple of things. First, that this track is actually being also released as a single.
Yes. Yes, and so that's going to radio next week.
Oh, okay. Going to radio, have you had any feedback from the stations yet?
I have not yet, I'm working with some radio promoters, and so they're very excited about the new project and about that song in particular.
I can see why. It's very, very well done, well created piece of music.
Well, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate that. That was actually the last song that was written for the album.
Really?
Yes, it was the last song. My distributor needed to have the project finished, and I was probably about 2 months out from actually finishing it. I had this song that was not quite complete, which was Love Is, and I just diligently put that together and completed it. And it turned out wonderful. It turned out to be this song that a lot of people seem to really like and appreciate, so I'm happy that happened that way.
And the other thing you mentioned was a music video. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we just literally finished or shooting it. We shot it on Monday. It took about 16 hours to shoot. We started at 4 in the morning, and I think we finished around 8 at night, just the shooting of it. And it's a wonderful video. I don't want to give away too much because there's a twist in it. But it's a great video. And once the CD is released, the artwork on the CD has been getting a lot of compliments. And the person who did the artwork, the creative director on the cover of the CD, his name is Daniel Garcia. But he's also a videographer, or you know, he does music videos, and so I got him as well as another director named Jared Swanson to come together on this video, I can't wait for everyone to see it. I don't want to say too much, but it was a great long 16 hours, and I've seen the first cut of it, and it's wonderful, and I just can't wait to really get that out to people. And that's probably going to happen probably sometime in the next week or two.
Oh, perfect. Do let me know. I'd be delighted to take a look at it.
Oh, that would be amazing, Simon. That would be great.
Off air, I accused Love Is of being your first solo project. But it's not, is it? This is actually your
second. This is actually my second project. The first project was called Little Red Box, and it was the first album that I sang everything on it. It's really my debut. It was my debut as a singer, and it was probably up until, I believe, Love Is. It was my most well-received album I had ever done.
And you call this a solo project, but it's hardly solo. You certainly have a lot of people playing on the CD. Do you want to tell us who plays what?
Sure. There's my core band, which is my rhythm section. So they're on a lot of it, and so that would be Kenny Williams on bass, Ben Reyes on keyboards, Leah Ticey, who is also a Billboard Music Award winner, on vocals, background vocals, and that was her on Love Is at the end doing all those gospel riffs. And Ben, actually my keyboard, he also recorded on Bobby Brown's album, the Don't Be Cruel album back in the day. Paul Hunt is on guitar, but I also have Grammy winner Laura Sullivan. She plays piano on one of the songs, and as well another set of Grammy winners, Stephen Kuhn and Tony Peebles on trumpet and saxophone. They're part of a they're members of a group called the Pacific Mambo Orchestra, and so both Stephen, Tony, and Laura, both they all won Grammys this past year. And then on the second song, there's a duet. There's one duet on the album, and I do that with this wonderful, wonderful up-and-coming singer-songwriter. The song is called Show Me, and her name is Jenna Lavoie. And she is, write that name down because she's going to be big. I guarantee it.
And you although you're billed as a percussionist, you yourself mentioned that you you play a variety of other instruments. What do you use to actually do songwriting? I would imagine you can't really use drums.
Well, you can sometimes. I'm a groove person, right? So I like to write grooves, but I normally start somewhere on the piano. That's usually somewhere, you know, really it comes out of my head. If I hear something, then I'll sit at the piano and kind of, you know, sit with chords and you know, do chord changes and just try to figure it out that way. But I do actually come back to very soon after starting a project, I do come to the groove and you know, so that would be, you know, working out the drum parts and things like that. Although, you know, as the song grows and forms into what it is in the end, you know, all those things get tweaked and you know, into what it the shape of whatever that song is in the end. But, you know, I basically start on the piano.
Do you find that you begin with the words and then add the music, or is it the other way around, the music drives the words?
Well, I would say, you know, there's no official route that I ever take, but generally I would say the majority of the times I start with the music and then the words come.
I've heard this from many musicians that, you know, they write the music, and the words mm-hmm. just appear out of nowhere.
Yeah. Pretty much. You know, I try to find inspiration. I try to find inspiration, you know, every day. You know, I you know, if it's watching a movie, watching a TV show, you know, just being out in the public. You know, I try to get inspiration from that. And for me, because I've been a songwriter, I've been a songwriter all of my life. Even when I wasn't really songwriting, I would listen to old school like R&B music, and I would write the words out, you know, the lyrics out. When I was a kid, I had a binder full of the lyrics to R&B lyrics, yeah, to songs that I liked. And so I try to find those inspirations everywhere.
And who are your favorite songwriters or you know, musicians?
Yeah. Well, I have a lot. I have a very eclectic musical background. So growing up, my stepfather, he was big into country music. So I grew up on like Johnny Cash and people like that, and then my mother was big into the old crooner stuff like Nat King Cole and Frank Sinatra, so all of those are influences. But then my older brothers were into groups like Earth, Wind & Fire, and Stevie Wonder, Paul McCartney, the Beatles, you know, all of those older. You know, those are great songwriters. Those are all everyone that I named are just they're legends. And so I like to go back. You know, I like to go back and get influences from those great songs, because to me that's what music is all about. It starts with a great song. You know, it's not about the big production that you put on it. In the end, it's it all boils down to, is it a great song? And so as far as songwriters, you know, vocally and that, you know, Stevie Wonder and Earth, Wind & Fire are probably two, and then Paul McCartney, you know, Lennon and McCartney. But then there's also, I have these musical influences as well, like Duke Ellington and people like that, you know, and a lot of that's from studying in school and actually being in jazz bands and stuff like that, where they're playing, you know, people like Duke, his arrangements in school. So, yeah.
Okay. Look, how about we take another track out for a spin?
Okay.
Waiting. Any comments before before I play it?
Well, the funny thing is, so we played "Love Is," which was the last song that I wrote for before completing the album. "Waiting" was the first song I wrote 6 months after releasing my first album.
Okay, well, here is "Waiting." Another great track. I really like it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I the first time I listened to it, I wasn't sure, but it sure smacked like there's some synthesizer in there, and you can clearly hear it at the end of the track.
Yeah.
Is that a tool that occurs elsewhere on the album?
Yes, there are synthesizers on the album. So you know, if you listen to the album as a whole, it's kind of I say I'm a soul singer because it's soul music, and it's kind of retro. It has a retro feel, yet still there's a modern tinge to everything. And so I tried to take the approach of, so that synthesizer you just heard on Waiting is called an ARP 2600, and that was very popular back in the 70s. So on old 70s records, that's where you'll hear it. And so that's kind of what I wanted with that song, is to incorporate the kind of old and new in that sound of that song.
It really is a great song. You said that was the first one that you you penned. Where did the inspiration for the album come from?
The inspiration for the album overall was, I don't think that I have a particular inspiration period, except that I wanted to do something that was better than my last one. And so I spent two years writing this album, and my main goal was to just write a great album, one that really, really showed off my vocal work as well as my songwriting work. And so that was really my inspiration, was to write something better than I had ever written before. And I personally think that I've done that. And I'm hoping that the world feels the same way.
I know that the CD hasn't been released yet. Although you did mention that next week it's probably going to be getting some radio play. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the release process? When will people be able to actually get their hands on it?
Well, the official worldwide release date is October 21st, but it's also, right now we're taking pre-orders for digital pre-orders on iTunes. So if you look up D. Edward Love Is, you can pre-order the album now, or on Amazon if you're looking for a physical CD. We are taking pre-orders on Amazon as well. And again, it's D. Edward Love Is.
Now, I understand that you also have a launch party set up for November.
Mm-hmm. Yes, November 22nd in San Francisco, at a place called Neck of the Woods on Clement Street in San Francisco. It's going to be a big, huge record release party. I'm going to have all my Grammy-winning friends who are on the album. They're going to come in and play, as well as my exceptional band, my regular people who are in my band, and as well Miss Jenna Lavoy, who does this wonderful duet with me. So it's going to be a big party, and I hope that everyone can make it. If you're around in San Francisco on November 22nd, please do come by.
I'll bear that in mind. what are your what are your plans for live performances?
Well, we're booking live shows now. I actually have a live show next week, which we're not playing. We're playing some of the new material, some of the old material. We've really honed a show that is really exciting and high energy show to framework my music in. But I'm playing next week at this place called the Legionnaire in Oakland on Telegraph. That is the 16th, October 16th, so next Thursday in Oakland. And then on the 25th, we're playing in L.A. in Los Angeles. We're actually playing at Goren Brothers Hat from 5 to 7, and then we're playing this wonderful, wonderful room called Room 5, the Room 5 Lounge, on North La Brea at 8 o'clock in Los Angeles. And so that's what we have now until the record release party, and we're really rehearsing diligently for the record release party November 22nd. And then we'll start booking and touring after the official release.
It's one thing playing in the studio. It's entirely different being on stage. Which is your favorite environment?
You know, they're two different environments, and I love them both. Being on stage gives me a chance to be that showman that I've always been an undercover showman. So that's always fun to get out there. Although that's taken some growth for me to get to where I'm at now, where I'm very comfortable being in front of a crowd, dancing and singing and all of that. I've grown up in the studio though, so I'm very, very comfortable in the studio. I have a studio here at my house. So it's part of my living situation, but I wouldn't say that I have a preference of one or the other. I think that they both go hand in hand, especially as a songwriter and someone that does original music. Those two things go hand in hand, but they're so vastly different. And for me, I'm not shy, so I love being out in front of people, but I do call myself an introvert, so I do like to be in the studio too.
I'm looking at the clock, and unfortunately, we are flat out of time. D. Edward, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and I do wish you every success with Love Is, and as I said, when the video comes out, please do shoot me a link. I would love to see it.
I will absolutely do that. It's been wonderful, Simon. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Till next time, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week. And we'll be back again soon with another episode of The Week in Reviews. Till then, goodbye.